Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Lord, amen. Man, thank God for His presence in this place today. And I hope you've already been encouraged from being in His presence and singing to the Lord and praising Him for His goodness and His glory. I want you to do me a favor and go ahead and open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. If you have your Bible, open up to Philippians chapter 1. I started last Sunday a series that I felt like God put on my heart several weeks back about how we can have unshakable joy when our world is shaking around us. At that time, we had no idea that we were going to be devastated by the storm here in North Carolina and other places. But when you look at everything that's going on around us in our state, when you look at the political landscape and what's happening and the future of our nation, what's at stake. When you think about what we see happening over in the Middle East with nations fighting against Israel, Israel trying to defend itself, we think that, you know, man, it would seem impossible. How in the world can we have unshakable joy when there's so much chaos and so much craziness in our world today? How in the world can we have unshakable joy? Well, I felt like God put on my heart that we can have unshakable joy despite what's going on around us in our world. And it's really heavy on my heart for God's people, especially us as a church, that we would realize that no matter what we have to walk through, no matter how crazy things get in the world around us, and no matter how crazy things get in our own personal world, that we can have unshakable joy. Just because circumstances in our life start to shake around us, it doesn't mean that we have to start shaking with it. We can have an unshakable joy, even in the midst of those circumstances that are around us that are difficult and discouraging at times. And that's why I believe God put that on my heart about having an unshakable joy. Now, in your Bibles, in the book of Philippians, you'll know if you paid attention last Sunday that the book of Philippians is a book about joy. But what is so strange about that is that Paul, who is the writer of this letter to the Philippians, this letter that he's writing to them that is just themed with joy, he's writing from a prison. He's actually chained up in a very lonely and dark and difficult place. Paul is actually in a prison, not because he's guilty of anything, but because of his faith in Jesus Christ. And here he is, he's writing this letter, and he's reminding the church, the Philippian church, but it's also for us today, telling the church that unshakable joy is not found in money, it's not found in materials, it's not found in the pleasures of this world or the popularity. It's not found in possessions. Paul is saying that the unshakable joy that we need in our life, this world cannot offer it to you. In fact, if you remember what I shared with you last week, this unshakable joy is connected to Jesus Christ. That's how you have this unshakable joy. Paul said that, remember in Philippians 4:4, we should rejoice always in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Paul, who is writing this letter from a prison, is reminding us that to have unshakable joy in our life, it's not a feeling because our circumstances are always changing in our life. And that means that if you think joy is a feeling, then it's always going to be up and down, up and down. Joy from Paul tells us that it's a choice. You make a choice, just like our sister was declaring. You make a choice to sing. You make a choice to raise your hand. Paul said, rejoice. It's a command. That means there's a command given to us. We have to make a decision. We have to make a choice. So joy is a choice. And it's the choice to make sure that you stay connected to Christ, who is the source of our joy. And also, our joy will be consistent as long as we stay connected to Jesus Christ. That's just a little bit of review from what we learned from God's Word last Sunday. Well, let me just kind of switch gears this morning and share with you something about living with an unshakable joy in our life. Now, this past week, while we were working in the North Carolina mountains, I heard this phrase right here from several people that lived there on that mountain and also that were working there on that mountain that we were at. And when you would ask them how they were doing, they would reply back, "I'm doing okay under the circumstances. I'm doing good under the circumstances." And I know in my life, and I'm sure in your life, how many of you have used that phrase before? When you've had to walk through a very dark and difficult, hard season in your life, and people would come up to you and ask you, "Tell me how you're doing." And your reply would be, "Well, I'm doing okay under the circumstances. I'm doing good under the circumstances." Well, this morning, I want to remind you that we can have an unshakable joy not under the circumstances, but we can have an unshakable joy above the circumstances. Why don't you say the word above? We can have unshakable joy above our circumstances. This past week, as we God ordered our steps for us, and we landed there on that mountain, hauling that trailer there, we met some of the greatest people you would ever meet in a community there called B-Log. In fact, I have a picture of the church there, B-Log Baptist Church. That's the picture of the church right there. When we went up that mountain, we went all the way up and came all the way down the other side. And the road, there was three roads into this mountain, but two of them were washed away, and there was only one way in and one way out. And the road we traveled in on was very treacherous. There was lines down. Part of the road was missing. The locals had used their own tractors and equipment to haul rocks in to fill in the gaps where we could get through and other rescue workers could get through. And we came down that mountain. And when you get to that church right there, that's B-Log Baptist Church. When you get to that church, the road is pretty much over with. It used to keep going and run right into 19W. That would go right into Johnson City, Tennessee. But the mountain there collapsed and took a lot of homes away, took the highways out. But the road stopped right there at B-Log Baptist Church, and we prayed to be on the front lines, and God put us where we couldn't go no further. And we were right there in that community on that mountain, and we met some of the finest folks you will ever meet. You know what I learned? When you're in a disaster and there's destruction and devastation around, nobody care about a denomination. We're all there as brothers and sisters in Christ working together for the glory of God. And that those folks there, they worked so hard. We connected with the pastor and his wife there and the people of that church, and we set up. You couldn't see it in the picture. There's an abandoned school right beside it. Our mobile kitchen was set up there. We were feeding the community, feeding the people working in the church, because that church, before we got there, they were actually flooded out. The basement of that church was flooded with water, and they had cleaned it out by the time we got there. And instead of just saying, "You know what, we're done, we quit, we're flooded out, there's nothing we can do, we have no power, we have no water, there's no nothing down here," they cleaned that church up, and they started using that as a resource center and a relief site center for all the people in the community to come. There was a helicopter landing on the playground there at that school and dropping off supplies there, and they were using and filling up that church so people could come and get those supplies that they needed. And it was a blessing to see them. Like many people in the mountains, they had been through it. By the time we got there, they were weak. They were wore out. They were worried about the people in their community. But something I noticed, they did not give up. They just kept right on going. They kept right on working. They kept right on going. They're not the type of people you wanted to get in front of and complain about anything. I can tell you that. And you may never meet those people from B-Log Church and that community there, but I share their story because I want you to look at your own circumstance right now, and instead of complaining about your circumstance, maybe you need to just say, you know what? Despite what I'm going through and walking through right now, I'm going to keep right on going, and I'm going to keep right on living my life, not under this circumstance, but I'm going to rise above this circumstance, and I'm going to still have joy all the way through it. Come on, we can do that. And we all face storms just like they face. I mean, we all feel overwhelmed at times by the things that we walk through. We feel like our life is spiraling out of control at times. You may feel that way this morning. That may be you. That may describe you. You may feel like you're overwhelmed and your life is out of control. But I want you to hear me this morning. Please hear me. Know this. Your circumstances do not control your joy. Your joy is a choice. It is possible to make a choice to have unshakable joy above the circumstances that we face in our life, whether it's a devastating storm, whether we've been displaced, whether you've lost someone, whether you've lost your home, whether you're in a crisis financially, or whether you've been diagnosed with a disease. Listen, you can still rise above and have joy even through those circumstances. And the key, here's the key. The key to living above your circumstances with unshakable joy is found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Now stay right there in Philippians in chapter 1 because we're going to jump around a little bit. But verse 21 is the key to having unshakable joy above and not under your circumstances. Listen to what Paul says. He says, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Listen to this. This is a man that's in prison in a very difficult place, and he says this right here about having a joy unshakable under any circumstance, and he says, here's how. You have to live. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is the key to living above and not under. Let's break that down. Paul says here to live for Christ. That is our purpose now in life. He says, this is my purpose. Yes, I don't like the circumstance I'm in. Yes, this is a dark place. Yes, this is a difficult place. But there's a purpose. And what is my purpose? To live for Christ. To live for Christ. And then he goes on to say, to die is gain. And that is our promise for the future. That's our promise for the future. So when he says to live is Christ and to die is gain, he is saying that I can have an unshakable joy above any circumstance in my life because Jesus has my life now and Jesus has my life in the future. So I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be defeated. I don't have to walk around stressed out. Why? Because I can have an unshakable joy above any circumstance because Jesus has me in, he has my life now and he has my life in the future. That's the blessing. Think about what he says here. Just look at verse 12. Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He says, what has happened to me? What happened to Paul? Well, everything in the world happened to Paul. I shared a lot of that last Sunday. You name it, it happened to Paul. Paul had been through so many things in his life that would have wiped out most people from serving the Lord. And now he's in a prison writing this letter, chained up, and he's writing about joy. He had been through some difficult and dark times and circumstances in his life, just like many of you. And just like a missionary that I heard about named Anairu. Anairu is from India. Anairu was, as a child, was persecuted and abused by his own family. In fact, he was held hostage by his family and made a slave, forced to serve them. One day, Anairu escaped, and he later on, through Christians, they led him to the Lord. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. And after being away from his home and his family for several years, God put a burden on his heart to go back to his family to win them to Jesus Christ and his homeland. So Anaru and his team went back home, and they set up there in his hometown, and they set up an area to play the movie, Jesus movie. Have y'all ever heard of the Jesus movie? And while they were there, they had the Jesus movie playing. They wanted the people to see the gospel. They wanted them to hear the gospel. And while they were playing the Jesus movie, a mob of people came there, and they took sticks, and they began to beat Anaru and his team. And they locked them up in a building and brutally, brutally beat them until eventually Anaru and his team escaped and they were rescued. Later on, people interviewed Anaru and asked him this question: would you give up and stop trying to reach your people for Christ? And he said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Listen to what he says here. I quote him: the more I am persecuted for Christ, the more people we are hearing about that are coming to Christ. Then he says this: the places that we have gone and suffered for the sake of Christ, we are hearing more people are being saved. Isn't that powerful? Anaru was saying, everything, like Paul, everything that has happened to me in my life has served as God's purpose to advance the gospel. Like Paul, everything that has happened to me has served God's purpose to advance the gospel. They knew, Paul and Anaru, they knew the secret to living above circumstances, and you can too. Maybe your circumstances are not like Paul's. Maybe your circumstances are not like Anaru's. Maybe your circumstances are not like the people in the mountains of North Carolina right now. Your circumstances may be different, but you can still live above the circumstances with an unshakable joy, knowing that it's serving God's purpose to advance the gospel. And that's the way you have to move forward with this unshakable joy: above instead of under. Make sure you discover unshakable joy in God's purpose. Unshakable joy, discover unshakable joy in God's purpose. What does that mean? That means that you need to find unshakable joy in something that is bigger than you and bigger than your circumstances. I want you to know this morning, friend, that God values you, He loves you, but you know what? When you serve the Lord, it's not about you. It's not about your circumstances. It's about being in God's will. It's about being in God's purpose and finding something that's bigger than you and bigger than your circumstances. And some of you have gone through some major stuff in your life. You're going through it right now. And I'm not here to minimize that. I know God would never minimize what you're walking through. But I'm here to tell you right now, friend, as big as it is, as hard as it is, as difficult as it is, I'm here to tell you that God's purpose is bigger than you, and it's actually bigger than what you're going through right now. God is working things out that we can't even comprehend. He's bigger than we are. And Paul said this right here. Paul says, I found this reason for living. I'm in a prison. I don't like where I'm at. I'm actually chained up for my faith. I've been beat. And I found this reason for living. And he says, the reason for living is knowing God's purpose. And God's purpose for my life is to live for Christ. I'm going to wake up every day, despite what I'm going through, despite what I'm facing, despite what I'm under right now. And I just wake up every day, and my purpose is to live for Christ. Jesus is your purpose. Jesus is my purpose. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He came to die in our place for our sins. He came to be resurrected for us. And Paul's purpose was all about Jesus. Friend, listen to me. If you study his life, every sermon Paul preached, he was preaching Jesus crucified and Jesus resurrected. Every time Paul gave his testimony, he was pointing people to Jesus, because Jesus was his purpose. To live is for Christ. Paul was at a place that no matter what he went through in his life, no matter what circumstances, he was always pointing people to Jesus because Jesus was his purpose, and that is our purpose. Nothing in our life matters. In life, it's all about Jesus. Even in our worst circumstances, it's still all about Jesus. He's my life. He's the reason I live. To live is for Christ. And that's how you have unshakable joy above and not under. To have this unshakable joy above, you need to know that God is working in you. Jesus is working in you. He's working in your life right now. That's how you can have joy even in those circumstances. Listen to what he says in verse 6. Paul said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, until the day of Christ Jesus. That is a promise to us that no matter what we're going through right now, God is working in you. He's working in you. He is. If you're here this morning, I don't care what season you're in your life. I don't care where you're at. God has you here. He's working in you, and he's going to keep working in you until he's done, until he's completed. And that's the promise from God, that he's working in you, and he's going to finish the work that he started. And not only is God working in you, but God is working through you. He's working through you, even in your circumstances. Listen to what he says in verse 13 and 14. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, or because of my circumstances, you could say, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. Paul was saying this right here. This is what he's saying. Listen, I'm in this prison, I'm in this circumstance, but God is working through me. He mentions the palace guard, who were these elite soldiers who guarded the prisoners. And Paul says this right here. He says, even though my circumstances are not the best right now, it's all right because these soldiers, they're hearing about Jesus. Even though I don't like where I'm at right now, and even though I'm in this prison right now, and even though I'm chained up right now, it's okay because these other believers that are in here, they're courageously preaching more and more about Jesus Christ. I saw that this week as our team was there and God was working in them and through them. You know, everybody's thinking, well, the pastor's there and I was praying with people and I was sharing Jesus with people. But let me tell you what I saw. Some of the other guys on our team, with Carson McCullen and Johnny Kennedy and Chad Shiver, that were there, I saw them guys out there laying hands and holding people and praying with them and sharing Jesus with them. And that was so encouraging to see God working through them, even in the worst situations. But that inspired us. Even in the worst circumstances, your joy can touch the lives of other people. And I saw that in many different ways. Let me show you this picture right here of Keith. Keith is in this picture here. I'm standing with him. Keith is an ex-Marine. And this man here inspired so many people on that mountain while we were there. In fact, let me tell you a little bit about him. He was in West Virginia on the Friday night before we got there on that Monday. On that Friday night, he said the Lord put on his heart he needed to go to the North Carolina mountains and just start helping. So he got in his truck and put a trailer behind it and loaded up a tractor. And he drove all the way from West Virginia to the North Carolina mountains. And I don't know how in the world he found B-Log Road, because I don't even know how we found it. But he got up there with that truck, and he got up there with his tractor, and he got up there with that pistol too. Yeah, we had a little bit of protection while we were there. And he worked. This man right here, he worked from sun up to sundown. He brought that tractor. Can you put a picture there? He's on that tractor right there. He had put American flag on it. And he worked and he worked and he worked, fixing people's driveways back, helping to fix the road. He done so much for our church around our kitchen, taking off items, building us stuff. The man actually built a house out of hay and wrapped it in tarp and had a roof and everything for people to sleep in while we were there. He worked from sun up to sundown every day. I thought he was going home just a couple of days ago, but he actually called me last night on my cell phone, and he's staying on until Wednesday, and he's still working, and he just talked about how much of a blessing this church was to him. We fed that man. We tried to keep him going. And but his work ethic and his heart just motivated so many of us that were there. When we felt like giving up, when we felt like we were weak and weary and couldn't go no more, all we could do was just keep watching that tractor go by and seeing him working and getting off and working and working. And I'm like, man, if Keith can do it, God, give us the strength to do it. And we were feeding off of his life because God was working through him to encourage us. And then we had the last day that my team was there. We got up that morning real early. Went inside the mobile kitchen. We would take time to pray together. And we had a little team meeting and affirming one another, encouraging one another, just making sure nobody was sinking on the team. And Keith walked in our back door of our kitchen, and we brought him on in. It was early in the morning. And he had just a big old smile on his face, just as happy as he could be to be there to work. And we just brought him in, and he encouraged us in that trailer, and he loved on us, and we loved on him back, and it was just a blessing. What I'm trying to say is, friend, is that God can use you like Keith. He can use your life, and he can work through you. When people around you feel like they're under their circumstance, God can use you to encourage them by having the joy that you have in your life to help them to keep going and to keep fighting the good fight for the Lord. God working through you will inspire those around you. And to live above the circumstance, you need to know God's working in you and through you, and God is working around you. Listen to what Paul says in verse 15 and 18. He says, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, Paul says, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. Paul was saying not everyone is going to have the right motives, but regardless of their motives, God is still working around you. Even when people's motives are not always right, doesn't stop God from working around us. Paul was in prison, and he knew that God was still working around him. Even while he was chained up in prison, Paul could say, I know God is working around me. Even in my darkest and most difficult time of my life, I know God is working around me. Even in my suffering right now, I know God is working around me. Even though my world has been flipped upside down, I still know God is working around me. Even though I've been diagnosed with some kind of sickness, I still know that God is working around me. Hey, even when I can't see God working at all, I still know God is working around me. Hallelujah. Even on a washed out mountain, I know God is still working around me. In my life and in your life, hear me please, through all the circumstances that you have to walk through, you're not going to be discouraged. You're not going to be defeated. You're not going to be depressed. You're not going to be fearful. Why? It's because you have a purpose. For me, it's to live for Christ. So I'm not going to be defeated. I'm not going to be discouraged because I have a purpose. I know God is working in me. I know God is working through me. And I know God is working around me. So I'm going to be above my circumstance, and I'm going to be above it with joy. And then we move to the second part as I get ready to close. Paul says to live is for Christ, but to die is gain. If you want to have unshakable joy above your circumstance, you need to discover God's purpose, but you also need to discover God's promise. Listen to what Paul says in verse 20. Listen to these two words that are future. He says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Here's what Paul's saying. That, listen, I know this to be true. I may be in a prison right now, but my God is still in control. My future is in the hands of God. He's saying I'm not going to be afraid of the future. I'm not going to be worried about the future. Why? Because God's got me. And no matter what my circumstances are in life, I know I can trust God with my future. That's the word for somebody here this morning, friend. No matter what circumstance you're walking through in your life right now, he doesn't want you afraid. He don't want you worried about it. Your life is in God's hands. Your future is in God's hands. And Paul said this right here. He says, listen, I may die in this prison, and if I do, it's all good because I have a future with Jesus in heaven. He was saying this right here. This is my world now, but it's not my future. This is my world now, but it's not my future. I have a future eternity with Jesus. And no matter what happens to me now, it's a win-win for me in the future. Let me tell you, I don't know how many times over the years that I've seen people stand on this platform and their bodies were ate up with cancer. And they were giving testimonies to the church. And they would say, you know what? The Lord's going to heal me here or he's going to heal me there. But one way or the other, it's a win-win for me. And friend, that's a great testimony right there. That's a great testimony. Because they know that God's got their future. He's with us now and he's with us in the future. And that's why you can have unshakable joy. There's the promises of God, the promise that he's coming back for his church, the promise that we're going to be with him in heaven, the promise that we're going to be reunited with those that have died in the Lord. Praise the Lord today that we have a great future with Jesus ahead of us. This world is now, but this is not our home. And that's why I can rise above my circumstances and have joy, because he has me now and he has me in the future. And that's why we all can have this unshakable joy, because we know God has a purpose for our circumstances. You may not like what you're walking through right now. I know a lot of people that don't like what they're walking through right now. I don't like some of the things I've walked through. I'm sure you could say the same for your own life. But could it be that God is doing something bigger, where it's serving his purpose to advance the gospel? And could it be that, you know what, I'm just going to hang on to the promises of God, knowing that, you know what, I don't like what I'm going through, but God, you know the future, and you're going to work it all out. Brother, if you want to come, Pastor Kevin, thank you. I want you to put that photo up for me, if you will, Justin, of this gentleman here. I have no idea what this man's name is. But he had to be from Duplin County because they were calling him Rooster. But let me just tell you a little bit about Rooster. We fed Rooster plenty of meals while he was there. He was there at the church. Rooster's house, if you go beyond the church and keep right on going down where I told you where the road was washed off, where it looks like an earthquake happened, if you back up just a couple of hundred yards, Rooster's house sits right there. And the night of that storm, the waters were rushing through his home, which is a two-story house, and he climbed up in the very top of that house, and the water came through and flooded out his house. In fact, probably they said maybe 2 to 3 feet of mud in the very bottom of his house now. He pretty much lost everything. A lot of his stuff was just washed out into the land out there. I don't have the picture with me, but if Rooster's house was sitting there, all flooded out with everything just destroyed around it. And then right next door, just a little bit over, there was a store there. It was like their country store. He ran that store. It was in his family for over 100 years. His daddy ran it, and his granddaddy, his daddy. passed on to him, and it was like the store there on the mountain that everybody went to. Well, that whole mountain there collapsed and took that whole store. It was gone. It was off into that huge ravine there. So we go there that day, and he's standing there in his yard, and I'm looking back at his house. He's standing in front of it. He don't have nothing, and his store is gone. And we asked him, could we pray for him? And we all gathered around him, the ones that were there, and we just began to pray over him and pray over him. And I could feel his hands digging in my back. And we prayed over him, and when we finished praying over him, he just kind of backed away, and he went to kind of jolting a little bit, and I just saw this huge smile on his face. Keep in mind, his home is destroyed and his business is gone. And he said, you know what? You see that mountain right there where my store was at? They're probably going to take all that dirt and all them rocks that are right there, and they're going to dig it out, and they're probably going to move all that dirt over here, and they're going to rebuild this road through here and that bridge through here, and they're going to make a spot right over here, and I'm going to rebuild that store over here. I'm going to put that store right here. A man that has lost his home and lost his business, but he's still focused on the future. He's still focused on the future. He's focused on a purpose. He's focused on a future. And he's doing it with joy. He had a smile on his face. Can you believe that? And that's the word for somebody here this morning. You may feel like there's something that's kind of just wiped out everything in your life. It may not be to that extreme. Maybe it's something on the inside of you. But you need to look to the future with Jesus, that God can rebuild it. God can put it back together. God can restore. God can give hope. God can give you even a joy, even in that situation. He can bring you out from under whatever it is that has kept you under for so long, and he can put you above it, and you can still have joy, even when you're standing in just a ravine of mud with nothing to live in, and your work and your business is gone. You can still stand above it and have the joy of the Lord. You can do it with the Lord's help. Would you stand with me, please? Please be very reverent right now to what God would want to say and do and move in your life. Would you bow your head, close your eyes? I just want to ask you a question. Maybe you came today to this service here and something in your life just keeps keeping you under. I mean, to the point where you just don't. Sometimes you wonder if you could even come up for air. You have panic, stress. Something just has you under all the time. It's robbed you from your joy, robbed you from your peace. And you want to come out from under it, and you're ready for God to just set you above it today, that you can have victory over whatever it is. Thank you, Jesus. Friend, God is here. It's not about a message. It's about getting you into the presence of God so he can lift you above whatever it is that has had you under for so long. So I want to ask you a question. Nobody looking around. If you came here today and you feel like there's something that just keeps holding you under, and you're ready to come above it and move on with a joy unshakable, would you raise your hand right now and say, that's me. God bless you. 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 You can put your hands down. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to obey the Lord, and I want you to come, and I want you to join me. If you feel like there's something that's held you under in your life for so long, and you're ready to come above it right now, would you step out and just join me? Join me right here in front of this altar, and let us pray together, and let us believe God to give you a joy unspeakable to come above it right now. Step out. If you had your hand up, or even if you didn't raise your hand, and just let's believe God to work on your behalf. Just make a way right here in front of this altar. If we have any people here that are deacons, elders, I want you to come and help me to pray. Help me to pray. And let's begin just to pray.